about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi guys, how's your day?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We call it swag.
He was like the Korean Michael Jackson.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then sadly we don't end up with what we really wanted.
Well, that cinches it. Lisa gets the prize for the best off-the-cuff response.
And now, our feature presentation.
Why is my diet made into a song?
I don't know. I came across that a while ago, and apparently that was a big hit record.
What?
In Britain. Yes.
Oh, in Britain?
In Britain, yes. A big hit record in the UK.
It wasn't an ad. It was a song?
It was a song,
huh.
Yes.
That's
Pizza
weird.
Hut, a McDonald's, a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, it is. It's perfect for you, man. Huh. They got their eye on you, dude.
They have everything.
It's Welcome into it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I insist.
It's Tuesday morning.
Hey, party.
Kevin Avicio. Back to you.
I was, when I was in the hospital, there was a story that involved a photograph that went viral. Everybody was talking about it. I don't know if you guys covered it on the show or not, but it was this homeless guy in Times Square in New York City that a police officer stopped and bought a pair of shoes. Did you guys cover that story?
Yes.
You guys
talk well, about Well, we didn't talk about
no,
it.
No, we didn't.
No, I heard
okay.
about it.
It was an unbelievable, heartwarming, just-in-time-for-the-holidays story. This guy has been homeless for about 10 years or so, named Jeffrey Hillman, 54 years old. And it was just a freezing cold night in New York City. And this police officer named Lawrence DePrimo, who's just become the most popular man in America, he says, it's freezing out here. This guy's got no shoes. So he took the guy a few doors down from where he was laying on the sidewalk and went to a Skechers store and bought him a $100 pair of shoes.
Right.
And put the socks and the shoes on this guy's feet. And the reason we know about it is because there was a tourist from Arizona who saw it and took a photo of it, put it up on our Facebook page. It just blew up from there. Hundreds of thousands of people saw it and shared it. And it was a wonderful story.
And then that woman bought the shoes from the homeless guy, and he bought some drugs.
No, but there has been follow-up on this guy because, you know, there's so much notoriety in New York that the papers have been kind of keeping tabs on him. And he was spotted a couple of days later. He didn't have shoes on. He was barefoot again. And he said, those shoes are too valuable for me to wear. I will get, you know, knifed or something from their $100 shoes. Someone will roll me and steal those shoes from me.
He was worried about his own physical health if he wore them.
Yes. And then he says, hey, what about all these photos that are being put everywhere and the videos that are up on YouTube? And here's the quote. I was put on YouTube. I was put on everything without permission. What do I get? This one around the world, I want a piece of the pie.
What?
Now, he wants to get paid because somebody took a photograph of him that now is popular, that now people are using and sharing on their social media.
Of an act of kindness from somebody else toward him.
Yes, exactly.
Now, this is the... See, if there weren't YouTube and people tweeting pictures and stuff, that policeman would have walked away. No one would have known, but he would have felt good.
Right.
And that would have been that.
I hope this guy sues.
And he still feels, and the police officer still feels good. I mean, he's still happy.
The guy's not wearing his shoes.
The guy's not wearing his shoes. Then it goes on. The story gets worse, by the way.
Excellent.
This guy
turns out that he has a family that is there for him, that is begging him to come live with them. They live in Pennsylvania. Come live with us. We'll always have room for you. Always say. Then it turns out that he has an apartment in the Bronx that he refuses to go to, that is paid for by the government. Social Security, disability, veterans benefits, because he was in the Army, rent vouchers. He's got an apartment. He's not even homeless.
He is schizophrenic.
He must be mentally ill,
yes.
Right? That must be what's going on here.
Yes.
So is the moral, don't give to the guy on the street,
yes,
give to the organizations,
that's
give to the shelters?
As well.
Or as Beer Mug said when I told him about this before we went on, just kill all homeless people. I mean, which would be the,
well,
what's the takeaway here?
I would have taken that position, except for I can't align myself with Beer Mug.
Right. I say buy them nice woolly socks and call it a day.
So this is what happens, though, when you try to do something nice. When you're New York police officer Lawrence DiPrimo and you just try to be a human, this is what gets thrown back in your face, is you're a big fat sucker. Right?
But probably for every once that happens,
there's
10 other times you do something
or
and
more.
It sticks. Right?
So now you're saying you should go ahead and give the thing to the homeless people.
If you feel like giving
yes.
If you feel like giving shoes to the homeless person, give it to them.
Yeah.
And then just...
Maybe walk away.
You're unhappy with that?
It's a very complicated issue. We want it to be good versus bad. We want it to be black versus white. I don't mean racially. I just mean we want it to be clear cut what the right thing is here. But are we even helping this guy at this point?
He's got an apartment.
He's got a family. He's got everything. He didn't want any of it.
If I'm the cop, I go back the next night and demand the shoes back. You're not going to wear them. Give them to me. I'll give them to someone else.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, someone on his Christmas list would probably enjoy those Skechers,
sure.
Right?
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Someone needs to explain to me hygiene here.
Well, we don't have that kind of time. On the program today, we have sex therapist Dr. Sadie Allison.
Yeah.
She's written a new book about the butt.
That's pretty accurate.
So we got that going on.
And Lisa, you pre-ordered yours so she can deliver that one personally. You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail.
I've had it at home for 3 months.
We have Lily Aldridge, who is a Victoria's Secret model.
Well, okay, I guess.
The Victoria's Secret fashion show is on tonight, so you can see tonight what everybody's going to be wearing next year. Oh, wait, no one ever wears that stuff ever. We have Thanks for that Info Bean.
Mm-hmm.
We have Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 25, that Ralph is going to tell us about. Very excited about
that. So good.
We have a Turkish plastic surgeon who is giving mustache implants. We'll give you more details on that. And we also have a top 10. We're going to start looking back at the year 2012. And unfortunately, today we have the top 10 moments with.
Oh, I love moments with. We don't play those nearly enough.
I know you do.
But I think it's everyone's favorite, Kevin.
Unfortunately.
Hey, I guarantee I'll be on this list today. I brought it in 2012.
You did.
I think this was my best year ever for moments with. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get, crack the top 5 like you usually do, but I hope one day I hope to be as good as you.
I used to have the entire top 10 in a stranglehold.
Right.
No longer. So that's coming up this morning. Plus your tickets for the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, both nights in the pit and backstage. Coming up at 9:10 this morning, we will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph is here, like he do, with the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on early this morning?
Not only am I here, I'm here bearing gifts. I have got Tarantino XX.
Yay!
Tarantino 20, a Blu-ray box set of 8 films celebrating the 20 years of Quentin Tarantino's film career. These films were chosen by Quentin himself to illustrate the first 20 years of his career. These are films that helped define his early success. Here's what you get in the box set. You get Reservoir Dogs. You get True Romance, which of course he wrote the screenplay for. Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill, Volumes 1 and 2. Death Proof, his film from Grindhouse, and Inglourious Bastards, perhaps his best film to date, in my opinion.
Is that your favorite of his, Ralph? I was just going to ask you which one you prefer.
My favorite, I think, would have to be Pulp Fiction.
Me too.
It's just such a great, interesting, fresh film. We haven't seen anything like that really before.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is the quintessential Tarantino film, I think. Well, Reservoir Dogs is right up there. But for my opinion, Pulp Fiction is the quintessential Tarantino film. But I think his best film is Inglourious Basterds. I think that really, in terms of all the elements working in sync, I just love that film.
It's first of all, NSYNC wasn't in that movie.
What
but
the?
Second of all, it is tough to choose because there's such a high level of quality. You're just talking about degrees now at this point when you go which one is best. The one that I watch the most is Kill Bill, though. That's the one that I love every time it's on. I love to watch that movie. But I can't disagree with your choices either.
The films are all in high def, as you can imagine, on the Blu-ray. The 10-disc set also offers 2 discs with 5 hours of all new bonus material. So if you were a Tarantino fan, this is the box set for you. I've got 2 of them to give away. I'm not just going to give them away. You're not going to just get these. I want to give them to a real Tarantino fan.
Too valuable just to chuck out into the audience?
Yes.
All right.
So here is your trivia question. If you know the answer to it, you call 1-800-520-10... What's the number again?
1067.
1067. And then you will win. Quentin Tarantino famously said he didn't go to film school. He went to films, meaning that he worked in a video store in Manhattan Beach for many years, and he would watch movie after movie after movie, and he would watch the people come in and the kind of films they would rent and what they responded to. And he said that's what helped craft his filmmaking persona. What was the name of the video store he worked at in Manhattan Beach? The now-defunct video store in Manhattan Beach where Quentin Tarantino cut his teeth on other people's films. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two people get through with the right answer, boom, you get yourself this box set of Tarantino 20. While we're talking about Mr. Tarantino, he, of course, famously revived the career of John Travolta.
That's true.
In Pulp Fiction. Maybe Travolta could have done it himself. Because apparently, he is a miracle worker.
What?
Scientologists are now claiming that John was working in Shanghai recently, when he met a man who was hurting after a severe car accident. They claim John Travolta did some Scientology assists on him.
Come on.
Worked him with some Scientology stuff.
What, do they have magic?
And then next thing you know, Travolta said he saw the man confronting his pain and taught him the ways of Scientology, and he immediately felt better after the treatment. He healed his pain.
Excellent!
Through the power of Scientology.
Who's telling us that? I'm sorry.
And a handy.
Where's that coming
guy
from?
Who's a masseuse. It all worked out. Everybody was happy at the end of it. This is the story, man. He laid hands on him.
Yeah.
And that man walked who had not walked before.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
More Tarantino-related news. Inglourious Basterds, of course, starred Brad Pitt. Who everybody loves, except maybe for Iron Mike Tyson.
Uh-oh.
Mike Tyson was telling a story this week about the fact that even during his divorce from Robin Givens, they used to have sex.
Okay.
And Brad, Mike Tyson says he was mad as hell one day to see the actress pull up outside Mike's house with Brad Pitt in the car next to her. Apparently they were seeing each other during the divorce between Robin and Mike.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're Mike, don't you just look at her and him and go, well, I lose.
I don't think you have that wherewithal if you're Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Mike says he felt emotionally comatose after the incident and went from a hard stallion to a wet noodle.
Oh, God.
That's more information than we want to know. When asked whether he thought about attacking Brad Pitt, which is not out of the
Not at
possibilities,
all.
In his
right?
world.
In
at
his
that
world.
Time, yeah.
You can't live in my world. I'll kill you. I'll rape your children and eat them.
He said, I wasn't thinking about attacking him. I was just depressed because I couldn't bone her no more.
Well,
I can see that.
Honestly.
I just hope his one-man show is filled with anecdotes like this.
I do, too.
I was a hard stallion, then I was a wet noodle. I was just sad I couldn't bone her no more.
Bravo! Bravo! Standing O! One man show. What the hell's going on? NBC has announced they are keeping Howard Stern as one of the judges on America's Got Talent.
Do you think that adding him to the lineup of judges accomplished what they hoped, which was to make that the water cooler show in of the nation?
I would have to say no, considering this last summer's ratings were the second lowest ever for the program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not on my radar. I know that.
Adding Howard did not help with the ratings whatsoever. Yet, they're keeping him. Maybe because they're losing Sharon Osbourne, who famously quit in a snit after last season when they took Jack Osbourne out of that other reality show, Stars Earn Stripes.
That's right. Yeah.
And because he had come down with, was it MS, I guess, right, he's got?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So she was upset with NBC, so she announced that she was quitting at the end of the season, and she did, so they're going to have to find someone else to fill that vacancy. We'll have to wait and see. Do we have winners to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Jenna was the first caller through with the correct answer. Two ladies, by the way.
I know.
Two ladies winning this box set.
I hear you.
Jenna, what was the name of the video store where Tarantino worked in Manhattan Beach?
Video Archives.
Video Archives is correct. Did you know that, or did you have to look it up?
No, I actually knew that because I worked at the Blockbuster Video right next door to it.
No kidding.
Yes.
They were probably put it out of business.
There were two video stores.
I had a manager that actually knew Quentin because she used to go next door and chit-chat with him.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. You've won the Blu-ray box set Tarantino 20.
Yay.
Hold on, we're going to give you all the details.
Okay, thank you.
Congratulations also to Melissa, who also had the correct answer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Bridges. Oh, God, I love him so much.
You do.
I can watch him in anything. 63 years old today. Marissa Tomei is 48. Fred Armisen of not only Saturday Night Live, but also Portlandia. Do you watch the Portlandia?
Occasionally.
Love it.
That's a funny show.
Tape it a lot. Watch it occasionally.
46 years old.
Fred and, Fred and Carrie are coming in from Portlandia right after the first of the year, Ralph. They're going to be guests in studio. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Then I watch it all the time.
See? Jay-Z turns 43 years old today. And model, TV personality, bitch, Tyra Banks celebrates her 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 6.
That's got to be the shortest song we played all year, doesn't it, from the Lumineers?
It is 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It ends about 20 seconds before that.
You cannot go to the bathroom during that song.
You can't. You just can't leave.
Right.
That's one of the bands that is on the bill for night number one this Saturday night at the Gibson of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show, the Lumineers. We've got, of course, tickets for you to see them and all the other bands for both nights, pit tickets and backstage passes. You can win them this morning at 9:10 right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
You know that men throughout the Middle East look at a mustache as a symbol of virility.
Mm-hmm.
The mustache in the Middle East is considered, you know, a manly thing.
Right.
So
isn't that interesting? Because there are very few people here in the West, especially in the United States, that are still rocking a heavy-duty mustache in 2012.
But the ones who do, I would say 90% of them are doing it ironically.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but then there's the Tom Selleck.
Sure.
You just go, all right, he's a man.
Okay.
He just is.
See, so there are men in the Middle East who want to be Tom Selleck, apparently.
Yes.
And there's a Turkish plastic surgeon who is doing, you're going to think I'm kidding, but this is a true story, is doing mustache implants.
Just, I guess, the same way when guys are losing their hair, they can do implants.
He says he does 50 to 60 a month.
Wow. So there are people, and I guess I would be one of them, who, if they wanted to grow a thick, beautiful mustache, are unable to. Do not have the facial hair for it. So I would go to this doctor and I would say, make me look like Ron Burgundy.
Right, exactly. And he would give you a mustache. Isn't that the strangest thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
Or they take hair off your head, implant it right above your lip, and then just hope?
That is amazing. Most of the patients are generally between the ages of 30 to 50. They're able to fly home the day after the procedure. How much do you think this would cost, Lisa? A mustache implant would cost what if you go to this Turkish plastic surgeon?
Oh, probably. I mean, I know hair implant cost a ton, so I'm going to say a couple thousand dollars.
Couple grand.
$7,000.
What?
$7,000.
And you know how hair plugs look?
Yeah,
like
they look terrible.
Cornrows? Is that what your lip looks like?
Yeah. They're able to wash the next day, have to abstain from shaving for 15 days, and expect to see full results after 6 months. So this is a thing that is happening. We wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, please put us in touch with the plastic surgeon, and we've got him on the line, Mr. Salatin Tulani, or Tulani, I guess it is. Hello, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hey, my babies. How you doing, my babies? Good to talk to you. Hey, plastic surgeon is the way to go, right, my buddies? Hey,
well, it's certainly working for you if you're doing 50 to 60 a month at $7,000 each. That's a pretty lucrative business. So, doctor, explain what's going on in your part of the world there in the Middle East. What is it about a mustache that makes a man willing to undergo surgery and pay this kind of money to get one?
Listen, my babies. This is the way it works, okay? In the Middle East, you must know that you must have a strong mustache to be masculine, okay? It shows you that you are virile. It shows you have wisdom and maturity. You are a man when you have a mustache. You need to be a man with a mustache, my baby. So what they need to do is they come to Dr. Sala, and what I do is I hook them up. They don't have skimpy mustaches no more. They have big, manly mustaches.
Now, does it look bad like it does here for the first year or two?
No, my babies. No, it's so easy to do. I take a vehicular... Follicular unit extraction, which is, I find that, you know, you can take it from anywhere, back of the head, the neckline, anywhere you need, hairy. Sometimes I take from Khloe Kardashian, she's a donor sometimes. We take from her and then we just implant throughout the upper lip area, we offset it so it doesn't show up in rows or anything, and the next thing you know, in six months it starts to fill in, and next thing, you look beautiful, baby. You're like a beautiful Groucho Marx, baby.
It takes 6 months?
to see the final results. But, you know, immediately once the hair is implanted, it's amazing the difference it can make in a baby's face. Oh, so good a baby.
So if you were if you're a clean-shaven guy in Turkey, you can't expect to get the high-profile job or the beautiful woman. You certainly couldn't run for office or lead an army.
No, my babies. No, my babies. You need a mustache. You have to be a man. You never see a man with a T-shirt that says, oh, look, free lip rides.
That's
no,
true.
I never said that, man. Free mustache rides, my baby. Yeah, give me those mustache rides, my baby. You need to tickle the lady garden. You know what I'm saying, my baby?
I see.
Lady garden Nevada.
I'm afraid we do.
Hey, is the most popular show in the history of your country Whisker Wars? I would think you guys would just eat that up over there.
We love that show. It's like porn for the people over here. They just watch the hair grow and the women go crazy for those guys. And I'm telling you, you want to be one of these people, man. You have to come to me, baby, and you have to just give me $7,000, and I'll give you an amazing mustache. You will go from looking like Justin Bieber, next day you're Gene Shalit.
Wow.
good reference, Doctor.
Not a lot of guys with big mustaches.
That's true.
You already burned Selleck.
We did burn Selleck. You're right.
I got another left. Sorry, I got Groucho Marx and Gene Shalit.
All right. We did kind of work into a corner there. Do you think this is the type of surgery that's likely to catch on in our part of the world, sir?
Absolutely, my babies. Because listen, when these women started hanging out with these guys with their mustaches from the Middle East who smell like hummus. They just go crazy, baby.
Is that right?
And soon all the women will be demanding that you American men all have all full mustaches too. They'll be begging you, oh, please, my baby. Oh, please, please, my baby. Can you please get a full mustache so you look like Andy Reid for coach of the Eagles?
There it is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes after 6.
We're going to talk to Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge coming up here in about 15 minutes. Kevin, what do you love that show, the Victoria's Secret fashion show every year on CBS.
Of course.
What do you do on a night like tonight or tomorrow night when Justin Bieber is your musical guest on the program? What do you do about that?
Don't watch.
Because you love it, but then you also hate it.
Yeah. I think that trumps.
Really?
Yeah, I really think so.
Really?
Yeah.
You give up an hour worth of chicks in underwear just because Bieber's on the show in the middle?
Yeah.
All right.
Just like saying, what about an entire bowl of ice cream with just a little cyanide? That ruins it for you?
Well, we'll talk Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. It's tonight at 10 o'clock at CBS. Model Lily Aldridge joins us in moments here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's time for the Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
We always talk after a long holiday like Thanksgiving. We had people call in with their horror stories.
Yes.
Police were called to a Port Matilda home after a disagreement over a game of Trivial Pursuit on Thanksgiving night led one player to threaten another with a hatchet.
Dude, was it because somebody didn't come up with the answer they thought they should, or were they having a dispute over whether the answer was right or not?
Yeah, they were having a dispute over whether the answer was right or not, and apparently they had seen...
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
So they were upset. It turned physical. The incident happened Thanksgiving night. The troopers arrived, and they seized the hatchet and discovered it was actually a piece of drug paraphernalia. So there was extra charges on top of that.
Okay.
How do you rob somebody? You walk up, you ask him for it, you take it, you run.
Right.
Not this dude. This is a 16-year-old boy in Joliet, Illinois. He went into a CVS pharmacy. He had a BB gun, and he stole some oxycodone.
All right.
Now, okay. You think at that point, you make a getaway.
Of course.
He went right to the bathroom and took it. And then...
Oh, really?
Passed out sitting on the toilet. So when police got there, he was sitting there passed out on the toilet with the stolen merchandise.
He has impulse control problem.
A bit of a problem. And finally, according to police, Mark Hall, 22 of Reidsville, North Carolina, had crack cocaine in his possession when his vehicle was stopped. There was a passenger in the car with him as well. The police officer spotted the vehicle, a Dodge Caravan, making a lane change without signaling. And he noticed the guys inside were moving around a lot. So mm-hmm. He put on his lights and no reaction. They didn't see him or anything. They pulled off the freeway a couple exits later. He still got the lights going. They make a turn. They make another turn. They go past three different places he could have pulled in. And then they finally pull over and the police officer comes up and says, "Hey, what up?" As police officers are prone to do.
And that's a quote, right?
Yes. He smelled the faint odor of marijuana. The driver apologized for not stopping sooner. He asked him to get out and get out of the vehicle and give him his license and information. Clark said his first name is Cornelius,
Well, first he said Cornelius. He spelled it for him, C-O-R-N-U-L-L, and just went on with this ridiculous spelling. And then he was going to see a girl named Shorty at an unknown location.
This gets better.
So the officer goes back to his car, puts in the name into the computer, gets no hits, comes back out. The guy spells Cornelius a different way. So the cop arrests him for providing false information and for driving without a license. The front seat passenger told him that that Clark's name was actually Carlos. So front seat passenger also gets arrested for providing false information.
All right.
The officer then asked for permission to pat the passenger down for weapons, and the passenger agreed. During the pat down, the officer felt a large glass jar in his jacket, which was filled with weed. He removed the jar from the jacket, passed it in the back of the seat. Inside the glass jar was the marijuana. He continued to search. At that point, he searched his pockets, found a small baggie with several white-colored rocks of crack cocaine. After being placed under arrest, he asked to talk to the officer. Now, the officer read him his rights, his Miranda rights, everything.
Okay.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you. The guy came up to him and said, look, would you mind throwing away the crack cocaine? Because I wasn't going to take it. I don't do crack cocaine. That's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer said, well, why do you have it? And he said, I was going to raise some money by selling it.
Okay. That's so they added telecom.
So they added a selling narcotics charge as well.
So did they not pull over for all that time with the lights going behind them just because they were just super stoned?
I think they were high.
Yeah.
I was going to pull over for the cops, but then I got high. And then they got found with everything that you could possibly get found with. They were thrown in jail. They had like 15 charges against both of them.
Oh, my God. That is
like
so
it's not funny. Like, it's not bad enough your name is Cornholius.
Right, exactly.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, citizen of the...
All right, keep hearing cowbell or talk to Victoria's Secret model.
I'm going to vote Victoria's Secret model, I think. I think we've had enough of the cowbell for right now. Absolutely. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most special night on television. CBS, 10 o'clock, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. This is where, Kevin, they talk America into knowingly, voluntarily watching an infomercial and loving it.
Yes. Are you kidding? It's the best night of the year.
Hey, Lily Aldrich. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I didn't realize that you were a local girl, born and raised in Los Angeles.
I am, and I'm so excited to talk to you guys. You have no idea.
Well, we're happy to talk to you as well.
We hope you still feel that way after we have this conversation.
Yes, I will. Right.
Before we talk about tonight, I want to give you all the props in the world because I know you're a big football fan. I saw you on the NFL Now on CBS over the weekend, and you have been a football game picking machine. You even had the Redskins last night, right?
I got both my picks right, the Colts and the Redskins. I'm so stoked.
Do you have a system? Was it blind luck, or do you follow it close enough that you really had a feeling?
I love football. I watch football. I love doing it. It's my third year being on that show, and I am so serious about it.
Guys' heads everywhere are exploding because she looks like that, and she loves football.
Yes.
No, it's amazing.
RG3, watching him. I didn't even see the end of the game last night, but I heard they ended up winning. Watching him, he is just one of those players that you are so excited when he's on TV because you can't take your eyes off him. There's just something about him that's just amazing. I mean, even when he fumbles, it goes his way. He just seems blessed.
I know. He's incredible. And just to be called RG3, I mean, he's amazing. That's awesome. The whole world knows you as RG3. Like, you're amazing.
Yeah, he already sounds like some sort of a Star Wars villain. All right, let's talk about tonight. You've been tweeting up a storm about how excited you are to be part of the show. Why is being on the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show so special to you, Lily?
I mean, it's like the Super Bowl for models. Doing the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show is the biggest honor. Being an angel is such an honor. And the show is just so much fun. You have Rihanna and Bruno Mars and Justin Bieber and all the angels. And it's just sexy and fun. And it's amazing.
Is it okay with you if we turn down the volume for the Justin Bieber part but watch the models?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Was he sort of a tool, kind of an annoying little kid on the set, or was he kind of professional and okay to work with?
No, he's super professional, super nice, like such a gentleman. We actually, a few of the girls had to go to one of his concerts, and we did this like video with him, and he was super professional and amazing.
Hmm. Nope.
Now, You've been a model for a long time, and they ask you to wear lots of crazy stuff. But this Victoria's Secret fashion show in years past, it seems like this is the one where they put on like crazy, like superhero costumes that no normal person could ever wear. Was that the case this year, too?
I kind of looked like Wonder Woman in one of my outfits, and I had this big American flag, and I loved it because it was just so sexy, and I was so excited to get to wear an American flag, too. And
I have that outfit.
I know. I modeled it after your Twitter.
How does it work for somebody like you, Lily, that had a baby earlier this year, and you're a Victoria's Secret model? Do they have a team that comes to your house like 30 minutes after birth and starts whipping you back into shape? How are you already runway ready?
Yes, yeah, so they send in the teams.
Day after, they're knocking on the door.
Yeah, they're like, hello, are you ready? It worked out a lot and, you know, ate really well. And it was amazing. And, you know, I'm so proud that I got back in shape for the show because it is an incredible show this year.
It seems like the kind of thing where you have such high-profile models that there's got to be at least a decent amount of drama backstage, no?
There isn't. We're all really good friends. Like, all the girls are my friends. Erin Heatherton is the godmother to my child. Like, these girls are like family. We're together all the time and, you know, really close. So we're having like pillow fights and, you know, blowing kisses.
All right.
Just like you imagined.
All right. Yeah, that's exactly what we were looking for. Yeah. She knows the word
hoping for.
Pillow fights, all she needs to say.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, Lily Aldrich is on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You mentioned that it was the Super Bowl for models. Listen to this lineup. Rhonda Kerr is going to be on the show. Alessandra Ambrosio, your close personal friend, Kevin.
Yep.
Adriana Lima, Candace Swanpool. You mentioned Erin Heatherton. I mean, it's a ridiculous lineup this year.
And we're all in our lingerie.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
I mean, if you insist.
10 o'clock tonight on CBS. Hey, you can come on and make football picks anytime you want, Lily. We'll be happy to have you. Thank you so much for the time on the Kevin Bean Show today. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Double clap is back. All right, guys. We got it. That's good. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, it's the world famous K Rock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let me give you a tip, Ralph, especially for you.
I don't want
not
your
yet,
tip, man.
If you've not seen it
just
yet.
Just the tip.
I don't want his tip.
If you haven't seen it yet, do yourself a favor. Get over to YouTube and look for your girlfriend Florence on stage with the Rolling Stones the other night.
What?
Singing the female part of Gimme Shelter.
Oh.
Going toe to toe with Mick Jagger.
Oh, yeah.
That goosebumps, man.
Good.
Unbelievable. She was amazing. She was one of the special guests on their London O2 show that they did, and she just nails it. You got to see it.
She's the best.
She's the best. She's awesome. Speaking of the best, coming up just after 7 o'clock, in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to begin our look back on the year that was the Kevin and Bean Show for 2012. We are going to do, and Kevin, you're going to be very excited to hear this.
Yeah.
The top 10 moments with on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Oh, I hope Kevin has one this year. Oh, I hope Kevin gets on the list this year. We've been
waiting. I don't want to spoil it for it. Kevin made the list.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. On the top 10. The top 10 moments with those classic great moments.
All right. Take it easy.
Got that for you coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are released in the stores and online for your entertainment pleasure. Here's what you can pick up if you're so inclined. How about Stray Arrows? A collection of favorites by Chevelle. For you Chevelle fans.
Now, I don't have to buy that, right?
Yes, you do.
It's out on a CD, Bean.
I like Chevelle.
That's how you judge.
O-N-I-F-C by Wiz Khalifa.
That I'm definitely getting.
What does it stand for, O-N-I-F-C? Anyone?
No idea.
It's all initials. Must mean something. Welcome to the Freak Show by Hinder. And then Warrior, the deluxe explicit version by $Ha.
Kesha.
Oh, Kesha. Is
yeah.
What it is?
Yeah,
she's got a new CD. This is the explicit version. This is where she talks about drinking and partying, man, and sex and her hoo-ha.
But doesn't she do that on
all songs? Oh, man, this is crazy, this CD. It's nuts. New DVDs. You can pick up Dark Knight Rises. Starring Christian Bale. That's right. I'm going to take 8 years off, and then I'll be Batman later. With Thomas Steele's My Mother's Pearls. Michael Caine and Gary Oldman also star. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, starring Jennifer Garner and Joel Edgerton. Do not see this movie. You will cry. I saw that video of those kids in that back seat. Did not turn out well for them. Ever seen that YouTube video?
No.
It's so sad. What's the matter? The movie is too sad. These two kids just crying like bitches in the back seat after going to see this movie with their parents.
Hope Springs, starring Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones and Steve Carell. They play an older married couple trying to get their mojo back, and Steve Carell is their marriage counselor. And Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant and Taylor Gray and Brandon Jackson and Doc Shaw and other people that I've never heard of before.
No kidding.
TV shows on DVD, Simpsons Season 15, Eastbound and Down, the complete third season. And for you bronies, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic Season 1.
I sort of have a boner.
Come on, bronies. Mobilize. While we're talking about videos and DVDs, interesting list from slashfilm.com of the top 10 most freeze-framed moments in movies. Most top 10 paused moments in movies.
Has to be all chicks.
You pause it just to check it out, what's going on there. Hey, what's happening there? Let's pause. Go, wait, go back. Freeze that right there. Oh, my God. Those moments.
I got my guess. I'm sure we all do. I'm sure we're all thinking the same thing, too.
Here's your top 10.
All right.
Number 10, Nicole Kidman flashing her ass in Eyes Wide Shut when she gets up from the bed in that moment. I freeze framed that moment. I wanted to see what her hinder looked like.
Sure.
Had a nice pooper back in the day, 1999, when that film came out.
That's quite a compliment.
Yeah. Tron, the movie Tron, the original classic movie Tron from 1982, the Disney film. Pac-Man makes a cameo in that film. It's just a brief moment, one of those Easter eggs. They just drop in there. You can find it, and a lot of people have freeze-framed that. It's number 9 on the list. Number 8, The Lion King, when Simba flops down into the dust, and it all swirls up into the air, and just for a brief moment, it spells out sex in the night sky.
Is that right?
Yeah, classic moment of weirdness.
That's just the Disney animators just having a laugh,
having
right?
fun. Yeah, just slipping a little something in for themselves.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
In Iron Man 2, during a moment where Tony Stark is walking past his desk, Captain America's shield appears on the desk. A lot of geek boys freaked out about that and freeze-framed that moment. Number 6, Brad Pitt flashes his butt to the doctor in the hospital in Fight Club. The ladies apparently like that scene.
Okay. Ladies know how to work a remote control now?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we do.
Number 5, Jessica Rabbit shows us all that she's not wearing any panties in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That was this past Friday at the Miss Double D.
No, that was Lux dressed as Jessica Rabbit. But in the actual film, there's a moment where her very high-cut gown flips aside, and you can see that Jessica Rabbit's not wearing any panties. She's
okay,
going
now
commando.
That's just sad, right?
That
if you're freeze-framing on animation, come
yes.
on.
Jessica Rabbit is the hottest character in all of animation.
Right, but that category is not good.
Oh, I'd like to dip my pen in her inkwell, you know what I'm saying? Jamie Lee Curtis flashes her boobs in Trading Places. She's got spectacular cans in that film. That's the fourth most freeze-framed moment, according to slashfilm.com. In Star Wars, the original Star Wars, A New Hope, 1977, Stormtrooper bangs his head while going through the doorway there on the Death Star. One of the greatest moments. One of the greatest bloopers ever in movie history. So much so that when George Lucas went back to tart up his versions of that film when he released them on DVD, he actually added a sound effect.
Really?
To that moment where you actually do hear, boom, the guy's head hitting the top of the doorway there. Apparently, actors couldn't see so well in those Stormtrooper outfits.
No!
It's true, guy. It's true. That's the third most watched freeze-framed moment in movie history. Jennifer Lopez's naked rear end in The Backup Plan. 2010's The Backup Plan. You see her ass. That was a second. Any guesses to what the number one most freeze-framed moment in movie history was, according to slashfilm.com?
Well, the one thing that I thought of when you started the list that you haven't said yet, so I'll just put it out there, is the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Pool scene, swimsuit scene.
Ah, not on the list.
What?
Yeah, not on the list.
Well, they haven't been monitoring my DVR,
but
then.
But you know what?
Sure.
That's in slow-mo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you really don't need to freeze frame in order to catch it. This is one of those things where things go by so quickly you have to pause it.
Yeah, I guess it's not rewatching a tiny segment.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, you can see that pretty plainly in that film. It's a great film moment, but it's not one of those moments you have to freeze frame in order to see if you can see it or not. That's what most of these moments are.
I don't know.
You can catch it.
So this is a moment that went by too fast to enjoy, so you go back and you...
Oh, did I see that? And then you freeze frame it to see if you can see it.
Boy, you got me. I don't know this one.
Mug's chomping at the bit. Seems like he's got an idea over here.
I think it's
Anne Heche's b-hole from the Psycho remake.
I wish it was Anne Heche's butthole.
I saw Anne Heche's b-hole last night at the
Anne Heche's butthole has a large presence in the Hollywood Babylon show I do with Kevin Smith. We talk about it often. In the frame-for-frame remake by Gus Van Sant of Psycho, in the shower scene, she falls out of the bathtub and you can totally see her b-hole. It's one of the few celebrity b-holes you ever see in a mainstream movie.
Usually they'll give you the a-hole, but not...
The a-hole and the b-hole are the same thing, right? Anyway, yeah, that's a classic moment, but did not make the list, much to my disappointment.
I don't know.
You're going to say, oh, yeah, when I tell you what it is. Sharon Stone crossing and uncrossing her legs in Basic Instinct.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Everybody wanted to see that, see what was going on down there. And we see that portal to hell. Everybody wanted
right?
to see that. Yeah, right? Am I right? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jeff Bridges is 63 years old today. Actress Marissa Tomei turns 48. Fred Armisen, not only funny on Saturday Night Live, but very funny on Portlandia. He is 46 years old. Jay-Z. How rich is Jay-Z?
All.
That's what I'm thinking. He's 43 years old today. And whore, bitch, model, and TV personality, in that order, Tyra Banks is 39 years old today. Got anything for me?
Nope.
Remember those songs you said wanted to play for
Can
me?
Can you see Mugs over
Remember
here?
Remember when you said, hey, for the next one, we have those Tyra Banks songs. Let's play one of those, you said. To me, you said out loud, to my face.
Are you watching? He's still searching.
I had ears, and the sound went into my ears and was registered by my brain. And now I'm out of time. I'm Ralph.
You ready? I have it now.
Showbiz beat.
That is good news. I mean, really.
That is. Congratulations, Bean.
Yeah, pillow involved at all.
Bean was able to bite the pillow. That's the operation. That's great.
That happened.
Hey, 2 hours from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show, win your way into the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. We're talking about pit tickets and backstage passes. Your chance to win at 9:10 every day this week, then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. That's how we do. Details at KRock.com. This is one of my favorite breaks of the whole year. I'm so excited that we're finally at this point in the show today because
that's
we're
great. You know, most jobs, people can make mistakes and then they're forgotten. Not here, though. Here,
unless you're an air traffic controller.
here we catalog them and bring them back.
Every year, we have various categories that we enjoy looking back at the year that just passed. In this case, we're talking about the moments with those brain farts that happened to all of us. Maybe some of us more than others. And we compile, out of the hundreds that we've assembled throughout the calendar year, we compile the 10 favorite moments with, and I'm very happy to be able to present those to you right now.
Top 10 moments with.
It this does one. Seem like we spend most of the year cataloging these.
Did we have a team of researchers work on this? Because I can't imagine one person could go through them all to decide what the top 10 were.
We farmed this out to the factory that makes the iPods in China. Good, we got 100,000 workers. They just all took the day off and worked on this project.
Those kids have smaller hands. They can get through the files quicker.
And I'm happy to say that virtually all of us are represented, you guys.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
We're all here. In fact,
Kevin
we'll start off,
made it.
Start off at number 10, and this is a Bean moment. Will.
What?
This just goes to prove that sometimes even the simplest details that you're trying to get out on the radio just don't come out right.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We'll be right back on the world, whatever it is.
That was a moment with Bean.
Right.
That's just nothing going
you
right
gave
in
up
that.
So fast.
He just bailed.
We almost called it the Kelly and Regis show.
Now, Lisa is up next at number 9.
Yes!
And I have to give Lisa some credit here because it is, if I read as many commercials as Lisa does throughout the year,
yeah,
I would fill this top 10. There's no way I could get as much copy straight as she does. And every once in a while, it does go sideways on her.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
How is that not higher? Wow.
Talk about giving up.
That was unbelievable.
That's almost flirtation. That's almost that moment that newscaster had.
A little stroke.
Where she has a stroke and the words just in no particular order make no sense
How's
whatsoever.
How's that only number 9?
That's crazy.
Because that's how good you are.
Come on.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know that SeaWorld got their money's worth in that commercial. Number 8, top 10 moments with for the year here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Ralph Garman.
What? All right.
No way.
Who also, by the way, is in charge of disseminating an incredible amount of information every day in the showbiz beat, and it doesn't always go his way.
And now,
A Moment with Ralph.
So good on the West Wing. Now he can be seen on Spike on USA. Not Spike. Psych over on USA Today. Not today.
Nope.
I can't stop thinking about these cupcakes.
That was A Moment with Ralph.
Wow.
Yeah. Number seven. Oh, Kevin is on the list.
Well, I made it.
The top 10.
Finally, right. Kevin got on the list this year.
He is trying to pay a compliment to a very funny guest. Reggie Watts was in studio with us, and here's a little bit of how that went.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Were you a musician?
I was.
First?
I was.
Thank you.
Whatever that was, I was.
Thank you.
Definitely was.
There's a cross between a magician and a musician.
Thanks for cutting me off. That actually helped me a lot.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Were you a musician? Were you a magician?
Yes, I was.
Little, you know that would have kept
special
going
needs boy.
As long as he would have left it.
Yep. He did you a favor.
What?
As long as he would have let it.
I did say left it.
That's for next year.
Six on the list. And again, this is me. This is Bean this time. And I got my women in the news confused a little bit and really dug myself a big hole here.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
Right. How did Amanda Knox, celebrated baby killer, end up? Excuse me.
Acquitted you got baby it all killer. Wrong.
Oh
wrong
no, she was crime. The Italian. She was the. That's right. She was the Italian. Killed the sex party guy. Right.
She did not.
She was acquitted.
Yes. The only thing.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Bean will rarely go that long.
She was the kill the sex party guy. He changed her sex by the end of that sentence. I was not in true command of those facts.
She went from a baby killer to a dude.
I feel like we have to take a break now because we have five more. I think we have to take a break and come back and see the other half of it.
I can't take five more.
I know. Like, how are we on the air employed getting paid by a major radio station in a big city? How?
Oh,
we are doing
knows.
The top 10 moments with 2012. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Tuesday. By the way, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be telling you about a Hollywood celebrity who claims his celebrity girlfriend cheated on him with 20 different men.
At the same time?
Not at the same time.
Again?
No.
At the same time?
How's that going?
So,
not good. We're going to be discussing that and hearing your great stories of awful, whorish behavior coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we are recapping the top 10 moments with for 2012. This has been a lot of fun so far. We had two from me in the opening five. We had one from Lisa, one from Ralph, and one from Kevin. Well, now we're getting into the home stretch, guys. We're up to the top five mm-hmm. of the year.
This is the rare air here.
And I've had, you got to be great to make the top five in the moments with on this show. And I'm happy to say that Kevin actually is in the top five. He's at
great.
Number five.
I made it.
Kevin actually appears at number five. This is a piece of an interview we were doing with the director of that movie about the SEAL Team 6 taking out Osama bin Laden. And Kevin had a little bit of trouble keeping some of the facts straight.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's the code of silence that SEAL Team 6 has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
The light of that will never come to daylight. Really.
That's accurate.
Hard to argue. Yeah. Kevin's
the best.
That is actually true.
Yeah.
That's truth.
That's science.
As we move on, Kevin it does appear again in the top
five.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, good. He is actually at number four. And this is one of the great moments with because this happens to all of us. It's a common expression that you know as well as you know your own name. But for some reason, you just can't get the words to come out right.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Lisa's like, one size.
Could
not
engage,
just
Lisa.
Just effing get it
what
out.
What are the rules?
I think that was the last time I ever did it.
Wow.
Everybody did yell at you for that.
Wow.
Yeah. You're supposed to let me just twist in the wind. That's right? What you're supposed
to do. Yeah, when someone is drowning, you do not throw them a floaty, okay? That's the rule on this show, Lisa. Come on. So one size fits all there, number four. So that's number five. Number four is Kevin. Oh, number three is also
what?
Kevin.
I didn't realize number three was Kevin here. That's great. Moments with us. Yeah. And this is a case of, this isn't Kevin not being able to come up with the words or getting confused. This is just Kevin, check it out. He's listening to Big Boy in his headphones or something. He has no idea what's being said on his own show. Here we go at number three.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has.
Just not, I mean, a lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're
responding.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that right. To his statement that nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I try not to listen to Ralph.
Wow.
As a general rule.
At least you came back immediately and just.
Yeah, I wouldn't let that one go. I was a dog with a bone, wasn't I?
You were eager to jump in. For a guy who wasn't listening, you sure were involved in the conversation.
You had no idea what was being said there.
All right, I think that's been established.
Number two is Kevin.
Oh, actually, great.
Yeah, number five and then four and then three. Now number two is actually Kevin with the moments with. We had Uriah Faber on here, UFC fighter, and we were talking. Well, I'm not sure what we were talking about. I think Kevin's asking a question.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Have you talked to other coaches, or other previous coaches, about what to expect or what the guys, come into their mentally, what they're like, or any of that kind of stuff? Tips?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It needed that clarification.
Sure.
I think it made it all good by saying tips.
Mentally. They come in, and with all the other ones, and the guys, and the coaches, tips.
Does anyone remember, was there an answer to that? Did
there
you just
no
ignore
question.
The question?
How could there be an answer?
He was very, very nice and answered it. I do remember that, because I made a fool out of myself, and I thought, thank God he's being so nice and just answering, instead of pointing out what an idiot I am.
Top 10 moments with the Kevin Abid Show for 2012. Let me see. Number one.
Number one. Who's the number one this year?
Any guesses? Anyone want to take a guess what number one is?
Is it Dave the King of Mexico?
Oh, I'm sorry. No? Actually, good guess.
Beer mug. Is it Beer Mug? Is it Beer Mug?
No.
Is it Lisa?
Because I was Lisa. One time.
Is it Ralph?
Actually, Ralph didn't
Beans,
make the
it
top.
You?
Is
it you?
You know what? Not this year. Not this year. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Kevin was not only one of the best moments with of 2012, but maybe in the history of broadcasting. Won't you please enjoy it?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say it,
1709?
Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What, Lisa?
What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right, let's try to figure out how.
Just because you guys don't understand the way things work.
So, Ralph, the story, if you recall, was 1207. You were talking about when the Adele James Bond theme was being released to iTunes. It was being released at 007. Right. That was the time on the clock, okay? So you asked 1207, military time, looking for 007 as the answer. Let's throw it to Kevin and find out, how did you come up with 1209, or 1709, rather?
Sure don't know. Sure don't know.
1709.
Sure couldn't put my finger on that one.
Wow.
I know that's the first one that you you SoundClouded, Bean, and it was going around the internet like crazy because everybody was trying to figure out what the hell happened to me.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say it,
1709? Huh?
What?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What, Lisa?
What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But
that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Ralph is pretty unflappable when it comes to being on the air. Every once in a while, he'll just lose it and not be able to continue.
Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is your top 10 moments with USA for 2012. Well done.
USA! USA! USA!
Ah, love that band so much. And the Naked and the Famous, their Youngblood song is coming up next. Plus, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat in minutes here on K-Rock. How about the Afro line? 323-520-AFRO. I know it's kind of old school for you to call and actually leave a voicemail message, but we do it so that we can play it back on the radio and hear what you're talking about.
At our Miss Double December, we had Brad Williams at Funny Brad there, and he was making some jokes.
He said, "I hate Brad Williams. Because his jokes fall short."
That was
hard to go wrong with little people jokes.
It really is. It doesn't get old. It should, but it doesn't get old.
Right.
It is Christmas time.
Beer mug sucks. Beer mug sucks. Beer mug really sucks. Beer mug sucks. Beer mug sucks. Fire him today.
Hey!
Seriously, for Christmas, fire beer mug.
Come on. Yeah, because it would be the happiest Christmas ever.
Ready for an Armenian comedian joke?
Sure.
I'm not sure I am.
Challenge you to follow this.
Roger bought a large sack of potatoes at the market. He put the sack over his shoulder, got on the donkey, and started to ride home. On the way, he went to his friend, who said, "Hey, Roger, isn't it difficult to hold the sack with one hand and guide your donkey with the other? Why not? You just tie the sack to the donkey." "Oh, friend," said Roger, "my poor donkey has already heavy load just carrying me, so I'm happy to carry the sack myself."
No, you lost me.
I mean, you can't even tell me.
No,
you
have no idea.
Well, I mean,
what?
He thinks that it's less heavy for the donkey, the fact that he's carrying the potatoes as opposed to tying them to the donkey, not understanding that the fact that he's on the donkey makes the weight the same. It's not funny, but
okay.
I understand it.
Yeah, we long ago stopped looking for humor in the jokes. We're just trying to look for, does it make any sense?
To make sense, yeah.
How come Rudolph reindeer has a red nose?
All right. How come Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer has a red nose?
At least that's a traditional joke setup. I don't know, Sam the Armenian comedian. Why?
Because he drinks Santa Claus's liquor all year round. Rudolph reindeer has a red nose because he drinks Santa Claus's liquor. That's why your reindeer has a red nose.
Okay, that's enough.
Olé.
Might I suggest that you hold off until, you know, maybe till after you call the Afro line to hit the bong.
That guy was seriously faded, right?
Way baked. No question about that. We've been talking a lot about the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yo, hey, Mr. King. Seems there's somebody who understands. There's only one number one team in this L.A. basketball land. Could've think they're building something, but nothing is all they got. Like a designer dress, looking to impress, but no one is on the store box. CP3, Butler, and Blake, flying high up and down, running up and down the floor. So what? Lakers got Kobe, Jackson, Superman, P. Gasol, and more. Dreamers keep on dreaming of a championship to be won, but let me remind you of the Lakers 15, and your Clippers, you have none. 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 Zero.
Strong finish.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Double D breasts are glowing. They're ready for showing to those far and those near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Double D.
And finally, our podcast listeners called in. They wanted to respond to something that we did about, I don't know, a week ago, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
So I really enjoy listening to your podcast, and I just listen to Mondays involving being swollen genitals. Yeah, I really, really did not need to hear about that. It just made me feel very, very sick.
Okay, we don't need more vomit on the show. We've got that covered. Thank you.
But you have to give her credit. Although her delivery was terrible, she stuck with it.
She did.
She did for quite some time, so congratulations. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Showbiz news time. Here's Ralph Garman.
Go!
And showbiz.
We got a problem. We've got a problem with the Hobbit, people.
What?
Uh-oh.
Word coming out of New Zealand after early screenings there that the Hobbit is making people vomit.
Mm-mm.
What? It's Hobbit vomit.
You don't want Hobbit vomit.
You don't want Hobbit vomit. No.
So it's not only killing all the animals in New Zealand, it's also making people sick?
Yes. Here's the thing. Peter Jackson, shot the film at twice the normal number of frames per second. This is a new technology.
Right. Okay.
Where instead of, what's the usual film speed?
24 frames per second.
This is 48 frames per second. It's supposed to give the film an extra sense of clarity and smoothness, but they're finding that people watching it are having an adverse reaction to it neurologically.
That seems bad.
And it's making them nauseous. Viewers...
Is that because the camera motions are all clear?
No, there's just something about the almost strobe factor of the film going that quickly.
Wow.
That it is almost imperceivable, but apparently your brain is picking up on that regardless, and that extra motion is causing sickness in some people.
Isn't that interesting that something that would be closer to what real life looks like would have that adverse effect on you?
Yeah. People claiming the double frame rate made them nauseous and dizzy. Some left the theater complaining of migraines. Some say the close-ups of the actors almost seem to strobe as you're watching those shots, and that's disturbing. And another person claimed the footage looked too real.
I have heard that about that.
It how's that a downside?
Looks like a stage set.
Yeah.
More than...
Huh. Anyway, it's making people sick.
Yeah.
It's all about Hobbit vomit now.
Hobbit vomit.
Darn it.
I'm not denying your story is true or is being reported.
It sounds like you're about to.
Yeah, it does sound
like to me.
It's a setup for
Bud. Coming.
I think Peter Jackson probably knows what he's doing and wouldn't be putting out a movie that looks crappy. I mean, he's pretty...
I'm sure it looks great. We're talking about the effect it has on the audience. You don't know until you show it to a crowd of people how a crowd of people is going to react, especially with a new technology.
Yeah, maybe so.
Interesting.
I don't think these people are making this up. I mean, nobody wants to leave the Hobbit vomiting.
No. That's no one's goal when they go to the theater.
It really isn't. Taylor Swift. Tatum Switler.
What's she doing?
Proving Shut once up. Again that she is the spawn of Satan. That she is a succubus sent to Earth to remove our souls.
That's correct.
She admits now. She did an interview with Us Weekly Magazine this week where they talked about her fame for writing songs about her relationships. She tells the interviewer that she was dating a guy, and when they were dating, he joked about the fact that if they ever broke up, you would write a song about me. She laughs and said, oh, don't worry, I won't, she told the guy, and
Liar.
Then promptly did after they broke up.
What a surprise.
She told him she wouldn't, and then did anyway. Whore. Whore of Satan. Satan's concubine.
She is. That's who she is.
That's who she is.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
She's such a big liar. And I got some good movie news. Are you ready for some good movie news?
Yes, please.
We've been hearing forever from such sources as Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis that Bill Murray refuses to participate in Ghostbusters 3. Well, this week, Harold Ramis says the following. It was kind of crazy. Just out of nowhere, I got a phone call from Bill at 3 o'clock in the morning. He simply said, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Yeah! He really is crazy.
He's crazy, yeah. Called him 3 o'clock in the morning, said, yeah, okay, I'm in, and hung up. That's Bill Murray for you, Harold Ramis says. Surprising and straight to the point. So, it looks like it's official. Murray has signed on, and Aykroyd, Murray, and Ramis, along with Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis, will all be... teaming up again with director Ivan Reitman to bring us the third film about the Ghostbusters.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I hope it's good.
Me too.
I think, regardless of the overall success of the film, there will be moments in that film that we will be glad to see.
Yeah.
We'll be glad they made it. When there'll be certain moments in there where Murray will go off, or that chemistry with him and Aykroyd and Ramis will come back together again, and you'll go, yeah, this is fun. Revisiting this is fun.
Are you menstruating right now?
Yes, I am.
I'm just happy to see Harold Ramis in a movie. That's one of my favorite actors of all time, and he so rarely works.
Well, he works all the time, but as a director and writer now.
Right,
he rarely
works
as a performer anymore. How good was he in Stripes? He's so funny in
Stripes. He's great in everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Good stuff. Good man.
Nice guy.
Why are you mocking Harold Ramis, Kevin? You must like
him. Yeah. What's that? I heard that noise.
Because
why does Kevin hate
Harold Ramis?
Because Bill Murray's the story, and by far a better
Right, but Bill Murray, you get to see. You get to see every year and a half. You get to see him in a movie. You don't get to see Harold Ramis very often.
You need all the Busters.
You do.
Absolutely.
Busted makes me feel good. That's why I like to watch those guys work together. Who are you going to call? Today's celebrity birthdays. It's coming up. Tyra Banks' birthday is coming up, Beer Mug. Just letting you know, at some point during this list, there will be a Tyra Banks birthday mention.
Ready to go.
Jeez. Jeff Bridges is 63 years old today. Marissa Tomei celebrates her 48th birthday. That's a woman who's aging very, very well, that Marissa
Tomei.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Remember, just recently, she was in the wrestling movie with Mickey Rourke. What was that called?
Yep. The Wrestler.
The Wrestler. The Wrestler, yeah. And she was a stripper in that. She looked great.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen of Saturday Night Live and Portlandia fame is 46 years old.
Not looking as good as her.
Fred, no.
Yeah.
Jay-Z is 43 years old. And model, TV personality, and woman of questionable moral character, Tyra Banks, is 39 years old today.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Big fat.
I always see that as being a ride at Disneyland.
Yep.
You're in a little water boat going through the Tyra Banks world, and that song just plays over and over again as you go through. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Still laughing about the top 10 moments with of 2012 that we played last hour. If you weren't listening, you owe it to yourself to get the podcast today through iTunes or at kevinandbean.com because it was great. And coming up in the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to do the top 10 sound bites of the year, top 10 beer mug interview questions of the year,
can't wait
top
for 10 that.
Omar game intros of the year. Looking forward to all of those. Good times.
Got to tell you, if you want to see highlights of the Miss Double December that we did this past Friday morning, you can go to krock.com right now. It's a video, video highlights.
You should do it.
Worth looking at.
Yep.
All right. This is going to be great, you guys. I'm looking forward to hearing our listeners' take on this and their own stories that mirror what is going on in the life of Rob Kardashian. Now, he's the younger brother of the girls, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And he's the one who we see on the reality shows from time to time, and he's got that that red hot line of socks. That's where he's making his fortune, right? That's designer right. socks.
He
right?
is designing socks. That's his plan for world domination.
Well, he's in the news right now because apparently he has been dating for some time now, a few months now. He's been hot and heavy with Rita Ora. Do you guys know who she is? She's
this
British singer-songwriter. She's one of Carson Daly's whore friends. She's over there on AMP radio all the time. She's that's just how we do. She's that singer, right? So he apparently broke up with her, and here's what he tweeted. She cheated on me with nearly 20 dudes while we were together. I wonder how many she will sleep with now that we are apart. But I mean, 20? I want to know how that was discovered, by the way. I want to know the chronology
number.
Of this. Yeah, like, did he find out she was cheating and then they got back together and then he found out she was cheating with somebody else and then he was like, wait a minute, and then they got back together and then he found out there was a third guy? Or was it, did he come across, some sort of diary where they were all, I mean, I want to know how he came up with that number of 20.
After four, he was like, but seriously, now I mean it this time, don't do that again.
Look, it always hurts to get cheated on. That's nobody's idea of a good time. But if it's one person, and especially if it's one person one time, you can go, well, it happens, right? I don't like it, but I understand
well,
it.
Well, he went on. He deleted that tweet, but then he went on. When a woman cheats on you with one man, I can live with that. People make mistakes. Trust me, I've forgiven numerous times. So maybe that's telling you, like, what is that numerous? Is that 4, 5, 6, 7?
I don't know. No one would ever fess up to 20 cheats.
That's
my
yes, I agree.
There's no way she
You
said.
Don't need to, because isn't one
yeah.
usually enough? But when a woman disrespects herself by messing with more than 20 men, all while being in a relationship with a faithful man, dot, dot, dot.
That's how he's going to spin it.
Yeah.
He's just concerned about her respecting herself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't care if she sleeps with him and disrespects herself to do that. And he's a freaking Kardashian, by the way.
Yeah.
He just doesn't think she ought to sleep with somebody else, I guess.
She did the right thing.
I don't know. 20, though.
She did the right thing, though.
Who knows if that's true?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And it's coming from him.
Yeah.
In his Twitter. But
and he's got an axe to grind because they're breaking up, clearly. But that is, I mean, that is... That's got to be a super extreme case. I mean, I don't think we're going to get any stories like that. But we are looking for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. You found out that your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, your husband or wife, had not only cheated on you, but had cheated on you with multiple partners. We want to find out about that. We want to find out how you found out about it and how many people were involved.
The more, the better.
Absolutely.
But not if it's still a touchy subject. Maybe you shouldn't call us.
Oh, I don't even care if it's raw. If you're still bleeding over it, I'm fine.
We don't handle emotion well.
I'm just saying, call us. Let's talk to Sarah, for instance. Sarah will get us going here, and then we'll take all of your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. You got cheated on by somebody with multiple partners. Sarah, you were quick on the line when you heard us talking about the story. You got some experience in this area?
Oh, yeah.
Good
morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What happened?
All right. My ex-girlfriend, super whore.
I love her already.
Yes.
We were together for over a year, and in that time, she managed to cheat on me with seven different people.
Seven people.
Two of which being guys.
Okay.
One of which being on my 21st birthday.
Ooh, ouch.
Wow. So
that's my birthday party late.
Help me understand this. Did you find out about all seven of them at the same time, or was it as you were going along, you forgave her for one, and then she went back and did it again, and then that just happened over and over again?
It was progressive. Somewhere between the middle of the relationship, I found out about a couple of the girls. I was like, okay, you know what? Fine, you're young, you're stupid, whatever. You're a bit of a dumbass, but whatever. And then towards the end of it, I found out about the guys, and I was like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
Forget this noise. I'm done.
Now, let me ask you this question. You are lesbian only?
Yes.
And she is bi. So was it terrible for you that she had been with a man? Was that even worse for you than her cheating on you with a girl?
I couldn't.
I think Kevin was all over the dump button for that last sentence. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you were saying, it was tough on you because you can't compete with a guy. But in a way, that kind of lets you off the hook a little bit because there wasn't anything you could offer that could fill that void. No pun intended.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right. You know, it always makes you wonder, why does someone stay with you if they want to cheat on you seven times?
Yeah. Yeah. In a year.
Different people.
Clearly, she wasn't in a relationship.
Right.
Clearly,
she thought
Sarah,
she was.
Sarah thought she was in a relationship.
Right.
Sarah's girlfriend, though, was, you know, Sarah was just one of many people she was sleeping with. That had to have been a terrible and tough realization. Sarah, I'm sorry we couldn't say goodbye to you properly, but thanks for calling. 1-800-520-1067. We got some great numbers on the board here. We want to find out how many times your significant other cheated on you and with what sex. That's kind of mixes it up a little bit for us, too.
And by the way, should we take calls from people who did the cheating?
Yes.
Might as well.
I would like to have my question answered.
How many times you cheated? All right. So we'll take your calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're talking about Rob Kardashian. I know, right? He just broke up with his girlfriend, Rita Ora, the pop singer, or as he is calling her, Rita Hora.
Oh, how does he do it?
Because apparently she cheated on him with 20 different guys while they were together, according to Rob Kardashian. Who knows whether that's true or not, or if it's just sour grapes. But we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. We want to find out some more about this phenomena of cheating, not once, not with one guy or girl, but with 10 or with 20. Like, how does that work? Where do we start? Let's start with Jennifer H. She is on line 7. I especially want to go to her because all Jennifers are hot, as you know, Kevin.
Hi, Jennifer.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
What's going on here, sweetheart?
So about 3 years ago, I cheated on my boyfriend. He was my boyfriend at the time. And I just kept, I kept dating him, but I would slept with his best friend and his best friend's best friend, and then that turned into, I kept searching for somebody because he wasn't right.
Why didn't you break up with him? Were you trying
to break up with him kind of secondhand with all of his best friends? You would think someone would tell him.
Well, no, because he was really, really nice, so I couldn't do that to him because he was so nice.
Oh, you couldn't do that to him.
Cheat with
him. And then he was so nice that even the last guy who I ended up cheating him on him with, like number 16, because I ended up cheating on him with like 15 guys.
Four. 15 guys. And he didn't know about it until 15 dudes?
Well, I mean, because I was still like, well, maybe it'll work with this guy. He's really nice. And, you know, everything else is going pretty well. And then I would turn around and I'd be like, wow, this guy's good looking. And then he'd hit it off with him. And I'd be like, oh, don't tell my boyfriend. And the guy'd be like, what are you talking about? Bye. And then number 16, though, I've been dating number 16 for 3 years.
Have you cheated on him?
No, not one.
Not one time.
Wow.
No, but he looks like Clay Matthews.
All right. Okay, let me ask you this. The nice guy that you cheated on with 15 dudes. Did he find out about them all at once, or did he find out along the way and forgive you so that you could go cheat again?
His best friend said, hey, I slept with your girlfriend, and I just want to let you know that I'm not going to do it again. And he was like, oh, okay, no worries. And then
no worries.
He came
all
to
good.
Me and he asked. Yeah, like, he was such a nice guy. He came to me and asked, like, what was going on, and I didn't really tell him. And then I took him to, like, a Starbucks, and I brought him, like, his Xbox, and I was like, he's like, are we breaking up? And I was like, yes, we are.
What do you think? I have your Xbox in my hands at a Starbucks.
Oh my God.
And then I broke up with him, and he's like, well, why? And I was like, I thought that it would let him down easier. Like, that would be a reason for him. He'd have a reason to hate me.
Yeah, you want him to get mad at you.
Yeah, because he'd be like, no, you're so, like, nice and smart and pretty. I'll look past it. You can change. And
next time, like, 30 guys. You know, you got to really step up your game with a guy like that.
Well, this one I found, he's a keeper. And then that other guy, he still tried to stay in my life. He took all my friends to Disneyland and he tried to get
Jennifer, you are a piece of work, my dear, but I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for calling. We very much appreciate it, okay?
You are too. A cartoon. Thank you.
We don't rock like you rock, I'll tell you that. All right. What about my boy Kevin on line three? What about this story? Kevin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about being cheated on with multiple partners. It happened to you?
Hey, good morning, Dad.
Hi.
Yeah. So my girlfriend of 8 months started becoming a stripper at month two, and we had this kind of rule that you can do what you do to get your money, but don't have sex with anybody for money or anything like that.
Right.
And yeah, any other standard relationship thing, don't cheat on me. So I find out at like month eight, just nonchalantly on the couch that, oh yeah, by the way, she's been making a whole lot of money and sleeping with like multiple customers a night.
In other words, there's lots of sex in the champagne room is what you found out.
Lots of that, yeah.
She's a whore, okay?
How many guys in that six-month period or whatever do you think she had sex with?
Well, it's impossible to tell, but she made like 75 grand that year.
Wow, she was busy. Would you guess it's more than 30?
Probably upwards of 50.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, man.
Now, does it help at all? This may sound like a dumb question, but does it help at all that she was just doing it for the money? It's not like she was cheating on you because of a crack in the relationship or because you weren't making her happy or anything like that. She's just doing it for business. Does that help?
Well, there was a couple of weeks where I thought, oh, yeah, I think I could maybe get my head around this. I mean, it's impressive what you can get used to, but yeah, nah.
50. Nah. No, you know what? 35's all right, but once you go above that.
But if she's spending enough of that 75 grand on you, maybe you do look the other way for a minute. I don't know. All right. I don't think we're going to be able. So you guys broke up. Is she still working at the strip club? And which nights and what hours?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:36.
Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up in a few minutes, then Dr. Sadie Allison joins us.
Nope.
Not right now, Kevin. Not quite there yet.
Next segment, Kevin.
What are you talking about?
Not there yet.
Jesus.
Someone's vacation is starting
soon. What are you talking about?
Then Dr. Sadie Allison is going to be joining us from TickleKitty.com.
Yeah, I don't even know how we're going to talk about her subject.
Yeah, she's going to tell us we're all uptight.
We were just having a conversation during that last song. What can we say?
Well, look, we've talked about her other books.
Yes.
She'll know how to talk about it. A third in her series of books. One was about pleasing a male's member.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was about pleasing the female unit. One was about pleasing yourself. So this may be the fourth book, actually. And this one involves...
So what's left, people?
This one involves another orifice that we haven't yet covered.
Good night, everybody.
Mine's covered. It's not the nostril. And it's not the ear hole.
That'll be the 9 o'clock hour if you want to hear us dance around that topic. First, though, so happy Ralph is here. Time to look at yet another chapter of R. Kelly's musical masterpiece, Trapped in the Closet. We had so much fun with chapter 24 yesterday. Ralph, you're back.
Well, listen, we're running out of time. We're getting towards the end of the year, and R. Kelly has released another, another 10 or so, I guess, chapters. And I think we can get to all of them by the end of the year if we work hard.
Wow, okay.
So this chapter is chapter number 25.
When were the first 22 chapters? Was that a year ago, 2 years ago?
A couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
10, I think.
Okay.
And when I say that R. Kelly released
this. I think it escaped more than it was released. Chapter 25. You remember yesterday we talked about Chapter 24 where we met up with Lucius the Stuttering Pimp once again.
Sure.
And he is having some money problems, and he runs across Sylvester and Tuan, who are coming out of the barbershop on their way to get something to eat. Turns out Sylvester and Lucius went to high school together. They've got a previous friendship relationship that Lucius is trying to cash in on. And at the end of Chapter 24, Tuan and Sylvester had pretty much blown off Pimp Lucius. They were going to go get something to eat.
Right.
And at this point in Chapter 25, at the outset, Lucius calls Sylvester back because he is really in dire straits.
And then they start to walk off, but Pimp Lucius calls him back. He says, Sylvester, I need to holler at you if you got a sec. Hold on, Tuan. Man, tell that fool to go head on. Man, I said, hold on, Tuan. Yeah, hold on, Tuan. This won't be long.
Hold on, Tuan. Just hold on, Tuan.
Hold on, Tuan.
Hold on, Tuan. So, Sylvester, I guess out of a sense of nostalgia based on their former friendship, is willing to hear out Pimp Lucius.
What's up? You know, me and you go back chasing these hoes around in high school to doing time in the joint, Lucius. That's Pimp Lucius. And Sylvester, respect my profession. Man, whatever, just get to the point.
You respect. All right. You will respect the noble profession of pimp.
I'm a pimp,
Sylvester.
He's offended that he wasn't called Pimp Lucius.
Call me Pimp Lucius.
Pimp for short.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, as we suspected all along, Lucius's problem is cash flow. He needs an influx of cash. And so he's turning to his boy, Sylvester, to see if he can lend him some racks, as they say.
Some racks.
Racks.
Women?
No, racks of chips. Money.
Oh, money. Okay.
I need to borrow a couple of racks. What? Nah, don't worry, I'ma pay you back. Oh, on the first. And what's the first? The first chance I get, man, I'm good. Whoa. Wait a minute, player. Help a pimp out.
Come on, help a pimp out.
Help a pimp out.
By the way, pay back the first. First to what? First chance I get. R. Kelly with the hilarious Three Stooges comedy.
R. Kelly, who calls them racks because it rhymes with backs, and that's the only reason. That's not even an expression that exists, but that's how little time and effort he puts into this.
Yeah. Pimp Lucius is having a hard time. Not only is he broke, but he's getting mysterious phone calls.
Uh-oh.
Remember, Tuan got a mysterious phone call.
That's right.
Someone offering him money to do some illegal act we haven't ascertained yet. But Pimp Lucius is also getting mysterious phone calls, and he thinks that someone may be following him.
I keep getting the strangest phone calls, and now I think they're watching my house. Why don't you ask your mother and father? No, for a couple of days, can you come and stay with them? Man, they don't want to have nothing to do with me ever since I became a pimp. Man, I don't blame them for that.
Yeah, I can't blame them for that either, really.
They're so uptight, the parents.
I know. I mean, Mom and Dad, our relationship has been strained ever since I started selling women for sex and threatening them with physical violence when they didn't give me the majority of the money they made by selling their bodies.
Just don't get me.
They frown on that. You know why? Because they're religious people. They're they're very Christian,
okay.
Mom and Dad. And because of that fact, and Sylvester seems to know Lucius's mom and dad, he finds it hard to believe that they wouldn't accept their son back into their house, even if he was a pimp, given their strongly held religious beliefs.
I just can't see them acting like that. I mean, them being Christians and all. And besides, that's your mother and father. Man, I think you should give them a call.
Right.
What? What was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did I hear what?
Yeah. R. Kelly has introduced another character.
Oh, no.
To the
tell me it's
pantheon.
Not God.
It is God,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh, no. God is part of this?
In the video, a light comes down from heaven, parts the clouds, and says to Lucius, "He's right, Lucius." Lucius hears the voice of God, even though Tuan and Sylvester are not privy to that.
Okay.
And R. Kelly, as narrator, steps out of the story, and we cut to him sitting there in the library as he holds a snifter of brandy with the Masterpiece Theater music playing in the background. Yes. To explain to us that ever since a particular moment, an epiphany, if you will, Lucius has been hearing God speak to him.
Yeah, ever since Pimp Lucius went to church and got a word from Reverend Mosley, it's been kind of hard. Cause ever since that day, things ain't been the same. Cause out of nowhere, he gets a scare and hears the voice of God.
Yeah, God's talking to Pimp
God
Lucius.
Should fix his hearing. He can't seem to hear at all. Did you say something? He's singing behind that entire thing.
Well, that's not
thing.
God. No, God says, he's right, Lucius.
Right.
And then Pimp Lucius says, did you hear that? And he's talking to Sylvester.
Oh,
Sylvester's
I see.
Like,
no
what?
One else
hear
can
what?
Hear.
I don't know what you're talking about. So that's where the confusion is.
I got you.
Well, Pimp Lucius explains to Sylvester and Tuan that God's talking to him again. And that's when they write off Pimp Lucius as a crazy old stuttering pimp.
Finally now.
They write him off. And the only advice really Sylvester has for Lucius is really you should call up your mom and dad. The reason I know that is because he repeats it over and over and over and over again for the remaining 30 seconds of the video.
You're going crazy, man. What? Call him up. Now, Sylvester, you know good damn well I can't do that. Call him up, Lucius.
Wait a minute.
Where you going? How you going to play a pimp? Call him up. Didn't I tell you I was going to pay your ass back on the first? Call him up, Lucius. Mr. Incredible. Call him up.
Lucius, yeah. Let's get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, the guys leave.
Daddy, let me go. Daddy, okay. Let me go. It's gonna be all right.
And Pimp Lucius's whores try to comfort him, including, of course, the blind Asian hooker known as Nocia.
Nocia, right.
Who, in this video, is walking around with a white cane and dark glasses on.
Will this be a game changer in the storyline, having God be a character, or is this just going to be like this one appearance and then we never hear from
him
again?
This is R. Kelly we're talking about.
Yeah.
An auteur of his strength doesn't introduce a character as powerful and as game changing as God without making him pay off at some point in the narrative, and I think we can look forward to that later in the episodes.
Can't wait. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Just minutes away from our daily giveaway of tickets for both nights in the pit and backstage passes of the sold-out 23rd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We'll have those for you in about 15 minutes or so from right now here on K-Rock. Don't call now. We'll tell you when to call. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
He's right, Lucius.
Thank you, God.
I'm just doing my God impression all morning long. Tuesday means new CDs, new DVDs, and new TV shows on DVD. You can pick them up online or in your local store. Here's what you can pick up with your entertainment dollar today. Stray Arrows, a collection of favorites by Chevelle. If you're a Chevelle fan, you may want to pick up their new greatest hits, in essence. Warrior by Kesha. This is the deluxe explicit version, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah. This is one where you can actually smell her when you play it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's how explicit it is.
Ralph, I think you were out when we were talking about they unveiled the album cover for the new Kesha, this album that you're talking about, Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her wearing nothing but jewelry made from human teeth that
were sent
into her from her fans.
Yeah.
Human teeth.
She asked the fans to send her teeth, and she got about 1,000 teeth, she said.
She's delightful.
A headdress out of it, and a top, and earrings.
Yeah, that's gross.
You wouldn't want to wear our fans' teeth?
Nope.
Folks, send your teeth to Kevin, would you?
Not
give
a bit.
You can make a little puka shell necklace or something.
Not even a little.
Wear it with some of your
would it
teeth.
Be puka shell necklace if it was teeth?
It would look like a puka shell necklace.
All right.
Welcome to The Freak Show by Hinder and ONIFC by Wiz Khalifa. We have decoded the title of that album, by the way.
What is it, Ralph?
It is Only Nice People in First Class. That's what that
really,
stands
the
for.
Really? The N stands for nice people in this case? That's unusual.
In this case,
rap.
It absolutely does.
Yes, it does.
Not really, but in this case, it does.
All right.
DVDs today, Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant and Taylor Gray. Nope. Hope Springs, Meryl Streep, Tommy Lee Jones, and Steve Carell. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, starring Jennifer Garner and Joel Edgerton. And the one everyone's excited about, The Dark Knight Rises. That's right. I rise, and then I run.
Ralph, you may be the only critic in America that I heard who did not like that movie.
I would beg to differ. I know a lot of people who had some issues with The Dark Knight Rises. Michael Caine co-stars with Christian Bale, of course, Gary Oldman, and Tom Hardy. There's Bane. You can check that out. TV shows on DVD. Simpsons Season 15, Eastbound and Down, the complete third season, and most importantly, the reason we celebrate the day, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Season 1. Come on, bronies. Put your hands together.
Listen to Bean clap.
He's a brony. That's what you can pick up today. Janelle Evans of Teen Mom on MTV is in the news. She is planning her wedding, But she may have a few speed bumps along the way to get to the altar. She claims that she was recently hospitalized for some lung work due to smoking out of a toxic wooden pipe. You know how it is. Those wooden pipes, they sure can get you. That's why Popeye had all those problems.
That isn't good for you.
Someone in the ER, however, tells a different tale. They say she was detoxing off of heroin.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's that.
And she is, again, a teen mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who's trying to plan her TV special wedding sometime soon.
So for maybe she was,
does that blow your mind? That just happened.
Maybe she was smoking heroin in the wooden pipe, and that's what made it toxic.
Could be.
She didn't mention what she was smoking in that wooden pipe. I just picture her with a corncob pipe sitting on the front porch of the general store playing checkers on the pickle barrel.
Think about all the couples who are doing everything they can to have a child right now, Ralph, and they hear this story about this. We've got a little kid at home, and she's out smoking heroin.
All these teen moms are just a nightmare.
That's bullshit.
Al Roker is telling people don't believe the nasty rumors that are flying around that Matt Lauer, his Today Show co-star, is a diva. He said he is a good guy and very sensitive. In fact, once we were flying together on a plane, I looked over, and Matt was watching The Notebook, and crying.
Is that coming to his defense?
I don't believe so.
Does that help?
That's throwing him under the bus. So Matt is not a diva, but he's just a pussy. That's what Al Roker's telling us, basically.
Matt's like, hey, Al, how about a little less help from you, buddy?
Yeah. The Hobbit movie's causing potential problems in audiences. After early screenings in New Zealand, it turns out that viewers are complaining the film is making them sick to their stomach. Peter Jackson is using a new technology for this movie. It's film shot at twice the normal number of frames per second. 24 frames per second is the traditional speed that film is shot. This is shot at twice that speed. Peter says gives the film enhanced clarity and smoothness, but some viewers had to leave the theater because they were nauseous and dizzy, some even complaining of migraines. It seems like the technique is actually disturbing people in a neurological way.
Hmm.
The images are affecting their brain so much that they're getting sick.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
We know what it means.
We don't need. That shouldn't.
Hobbit vomit is what you called it a couple hours ago.
Hobbit vomit. Maybe we should talk to the Hobbit tomorrow. Maybe
yes, we should.
What's going on with him?
Yeah, I can only imagine say. How that bit will end.
Come on. There's no place for that on this show.
There's only a lot of place for that on this show.
And good news! After all of the wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth regarding the Ghostbusters 3 sequel and the fact that Bill Murray had repeatedly said he would not participate, Harold Ramis told a reporter this week, it was kind of crazy. Just out of nowhere, I get a phone call from Bill at 3 o'clock in the morning. He simply said, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Isn't that funny? He's probably asleep. He gets a call from Bill Murray.
Makes him up in the middle of the night.
Out of the blue.
Okay, I'm in. Click. That's Bill Murray for you, said Harold Ramis. Surprising and straight to the point.
Because he doesn't have people. He doesn't contact
you. He doesn't have a manager.
Managers, right.
He's just got himself, and he decided, for some reason, to do a turnabout and join the cast. So Ghostbusters 3 is moving ahead, and Bill Murray has officially signed off.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I would like to nominate Ralph, and please, I'm open to other candidates if you think I'm wrong. Bill Murray actually is the most interesting man in the world.
Oh, agreed these days, because he's crazy.
I don't know anyone who's more fascinating to me than Bill Murray. Everything about this guy fascinates me, his entire life.
He does march to his own drummer, as
well. Yeah. He'll show up in a kickball game in the middle of it. He'll walk into a prom. He's done all these weird things.
I can't tell whether he is the most unhappy man in the world or the happiest man in the world. That behavior could be explained either way. It's a guy who's just so uncomfortable in his own skin that he's just jumping around from thing to thing, just out there being crazy. Or he has such a good time with his life that he likes to share the joy and just show up and just do whatever.
Yeah, super loose, go with the flow. Maybe that's what's happening here, too. But you're right. There's no way for us to know.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeff Bridges is 63. Marissa Tomei celebrates her 48th birthday. Fred Armisen, funny man from Saturday Night Live in Portlandia, is 46 years old. Jay-Z turns 43. And Tyra Banks from America's Next Top Bitch is 39.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows.
Happy birthday, Tyra. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I don't know that we need the vibrator.
This is how you know Sadie Allison's on the show.
A little higher, please.
This sound comes back.
Oh, you're on the wrong spot, honey.
No kidding.
All right. She's not just a party girl, ladies and gentlemen. She holds a doctorate in human sexuality. She's a real life doctor. Sadie Allison joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now.
Good morning.
DrSadie.com or TickleKitty.com. You are the founder and kitty in chief of TickleKitty.com. How you been, Doc? We haven't seen you in a while.
I've been fantastic. Thank you. Been keeping busy, been helping the world have better sex, enjoying each other.
You are single handedly, or are you just giving people advice?
I've been really busy.
She's making the rounds. Says here on the package, you are America's pleasure coach.
That's right.
All right.
That's
right.
She is. She's got a whistle and a clipboard. I saw her in the other room with tackling dummies, making people do strange things to them. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's
one of the things I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doc.
No, I was just going to say it's been about 12 years now.
Has it
I've
really?
Been doing this and since I met you guys. Yeah. Can you believe that?
I met Sadie about 12 years ago when I was working on Playboy TV's Sexcetera. We did a story with her. We've had her on the show ever since. And now it's her fifth book. I remember when you didn't even have a book yet.
I know.
The first book was which one? Tickle Your Fancy?
Mm-hmm. Self-Pleasure for Women.
Woman's Guide to Self-Pleasure. And then since then, we've had Tickle His Pickle, my personal favorite. Sure. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. Ride 'em Cowgirl, Sex Positions for Better Bucking.
Sure.
Toygasms, the use of toys and novelties in your sex life. And now the brand new one is Tickle My Tush.
Okay, before we get into butt talk here, we have to be very, very careful with that one, Doctor. I'm always fascinated when we have you on because I like to think back to what you told us in the early days, which is what attracted you to this field in the first place is you felt like most people weren't enjoying their sex lives or weren't getting the most out of them. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. Back in high school, I was nicknamed the Little Dr. Ruth. I was the...
Really?
I sure was. And now people don't even know who Dr. Ruth is.
Yeah,
some of the younger generation. But I was the advice giver, and
are you
used...
sure it's not just because you're short?
And so is Dr. Ruth.
I'm missing that accent, though.
So is Dr. Ruth.
But yeah, I loved helping people, and I taught women, girlfriends, how to please themselves, and they'd come back and tell me how it worked, and they've had an orgasm. And that fulfillment that I would feel got me to want to help more people, and I eventually ended up writing a book on how to self-pleasure.
Yeah.
And what is it about sexuality that is so difficult for most people to encounter honestly and openly?
Well, we're never taught how to have good sex. You know, in school they teach you, well, abstinence only now in some schools, which is, I think, horrible. But they teach you about sex education as far as your anatomy and birth control, but no one teaches you how to give pleasure and how to receive pleasure.
They don't want you to do that.
Yeah. And so that's the
especially
issue.
Especially chicks.
Yeah. Exactly. They might get out of hand.
That's right.
Those women.
I'm gonna go all nuts. The illustrations in this new book, Tickle My Tush, are good.
Well, thank you.
We're having trouble with
you
this
know,
topic.
That one was a really challenging book to do because I'm sure. I was trying to, when you think about butt play, you can use certain things.
Right. Can we even say that? Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
We're going to have to try to find our parameters as we go through this conversation, but I guess we could say that.
Our company is very sensitive about the butt. I don't know what it is about it.
Well, it's a sensitive spot.
There you go.
Yes, it is. Now, all right, let me just throw it out there, and I know Ralph is going to, you know, what do you uptight me here, but what about those of us who feel that the butt has its job already, and that's and that's the maybe the one job it's great at and you can continue to have, but that's as far as it should go. Is that a wrong way to think, Doctor?
It's not wrong. Everybody has their own preferences, and if it's just something you're not into, no one should ever be pressured to do it. However,
if I can correct you here, Doc, he is wrong. I don't mean
you
to step
go, Ralph.
I know you've got a certificate and everything, but
she's the doctor.
Bean's way wrong about this. Here's the thing, because in my opinion,
my
and again, I'm not being a professional, the mouth isn't technically a sex organ either. The mouth has its purpose, which is eating and drinking and breathing in and out of. It's not thought of as a sexual organ, and yet nobody thinks twice about involving that part, that orifice into their sex play. So I say to you, Bean, you're wrong.
I don't have a comeback for that. I mean, that is an actual an outstanding point that you make, but still stay away from my butt.
Once you read Tickle My Tush by Dr. Sadie Allison, I think you'll see things differently, especially when you watch the pegging section, I think.
I don't even want to know what pegging is, Ralph.
I think you do.
How about take a guess?
Pegging.
Pegging.
Pegging, yeah.
Pegging's a good word.
For people who have a peg leg.
it's for Paul McCartney's ex-wife.
Yes, so that they can be involved.
Because this isn't just for the ladies. A lot of people, and especially you see this in adult films, it seems like women are the ones who are getting the majority of the anal adventures.
That's how it seems. But nowadays, men, hetero men, are enjoying this with their lady partners.
Yes.
It's very popular, actually.
But
and actually, about a third of Americans have tried it. You know why? Because there are so many nerve endings back there. It's a very, very sensitive area, and when touched and caressed properly, it can feel really, really good. And you don't have to do what you're probably thinking, which is go all the way, per se. There's so many other things in between that can add to your overall sexual experience you're having.
All right, doctor, let me ask you this question then. Please move that away.
Yeah, see, now you're on the right spot. Yeah, right.
Let me ask you this. How great do orgasms have to be? Like, isn't the orgasms that we're already familiar with, aren't those fine?
They're fine, but why not go for more? I mean, especially if you're a thrill seeker, just to change it up sometimes. If you can, for example, men have another pleasure spot inside, and that's the prostate gland.
Mm-hmm.
And that can
testify, sister.
Yeah, I think you could probably testify.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Can't be a good prostate
massage. Spelunking, I'm not in.
Kevin, this is science.
I'm just saying.
You have to get past your bias. You and your little pal Bean have to get past your bias in this area because there are scientific facts that these are erogenous zones for heterosexual men.
It's science.
Okay. It's science.
Then let me ask you this on the topic, because the doctor brought up the prostate. When I had a prostate exam not long ago, it was one of the 10 blackest days of my life. I cried like a baby. Nightmares for months.
Tears of joy. Tears of joy there were.
It was so miserable. I hated it so much. Like, I hope I die before the 10 years are up and I have to go back. So why is that a positive? Tell me that.
Well, for you, it sounds like you've got some personal
issues
that you might want. But that's the thing with the Tickle My Tush book is I break it down on how to do these things properly so that it's safe and that it's comfortable and pleasurable. And that's the issue is a lot of people that have tried this weren't doing it right and they get hurt or it's uncomfortable.
Right.
So if you understand that you have to warm up a lot, that you have to use lubrication because there are no lubricant glands back there, and that you need to absolutely communicate. What are you laughing at over there?
Kevin actually has some lubricant glands. He's a freaking
like
nature.
I do.
Yeah. We have to express his glands every once in a while.
Stop it.
Look, we hear
keep
stories all the time from our friends who work in the emergency rooms of the hospitals in this great city of ours about people who do it wrong. People who screw it up. They don't follow your advice, and it ends up going very, very badly for them.
And, Bean, you have to remember, too, in a clinical setting with a doctor in a rubber glove in a room with fluorescent lights may not be the perfect setting for you to experience an experience like that.
Hey, doctors, how about a little warm-up?
Is that too much?
Like a woman going to the dentist and saying, well, I don't like things put in my mouth because this guy put a drill in my mouth once and it really hurt when he was drilling for a cavity. Yeah, well, it's a very different experience than something loving you know, in your own home.
All right, we need to take a break.
No, we don't.
We do. We need to take a break.
We have to talk about Licolingus.
We'll get to that.
Chapter 8.
Chapter 1 is enough for me. Butts up.
Butts up, Doc.
We'll take a quick break and come right back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 9 o'clock. No more questions from Beer Mug for our guest, Dr. Sadie Allison.
Ever.
Ever again.
Dr. Sadie is, that's how you follow her on Twitter, by the way, at Dr. Sadie. The website is drsadie.com or ticklekitty.com. She is our friend for many, many years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is a sex therapist, a doctor of sexuality, and we're talking about her new book, which is called Tickle My Tush. Now, mild to wild, won't say that word, Adventures for Every Booty is what the subtitle is, available now. Kevin and I are over here on Team Right, so we're going to let Robbie and Dr. Sadie over there talk about their filth. and see what Jesus says in the afterworld after you two are done.
Dr. Sadie, I get the sense that my friends Bean and Kevin are reticent to explore this nature of sexuality because they seem to think it has a homosexual connotation to it all.
It sounds like it. But the honest truth is you are not gay if you're a hetero man enjoying this kind of pleasure. Because it's not about the actual sexual act that you might choose to do. It's about the gender in which you do it with. So if you're with a woman, you're not gay.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
I ran into this with these fellows once when I told them a story that I had indulged a lady friend of mine who was using a sex toy on me in a way that you describe in your book. And they went,
we did freak out on that one.
They seemed to think it was a gay act. And I said, how can it possibly be gay if it's a woman who's doing it to me?
Your butt ain't made for that!
Is my answer.
and they still seem to think somehow, even though it involved a very attractive woman, that it made me gay in some way. And I
say, no wonder your behind is bleeding.
Look, to use euphemisms from your book, if I'm surfboarding and then I decide I want to go into the Freddie Flintstone or the Scoop du Jour, I got to turn around, I think.
You have to turn around?
I have to get off the surfboard and then I have to come around the other side of the ocean.
I don't want
the
Scoop du Jour, no way.
I think you do. I think you want that more than the two-handed teepee, quite frankly.
Doctor, do you have any numbers, and please just guess if you can, about the percentage of people who include the types of things you describe in Tickle My Tush in their regular lovemaking of heterosexual couples?
About 40% of America has tried this kind of pleasure.
How many have tried it more than once? Because I bet it's smaller.
That's probably smaller.
Yeah.
But it depends on that first experience,
exactly.
Too, how well that goes.
Yeah, and communication and feedback is so, so important.
Like, stop it, stop it, stop it.
That, yes, you have to listen to that for sure.
Okay,
because it's not like regular lovemaking. That area is completely different, and there's different rules, and you need to know what these are in order to do it safely and pleasurably. And that's what I outline in a very easy and simple way to understand in this book.
I've heard that, and this you're going to balk at this, I know, but I read an article that said now more heterosexual couples regularly engage in anal adventures when it comes to their sex than homosexual couples do. That it's actually more prevalent now in the heterosexual community than it is in the homosexual community.
That's not possible.
I've heard
that
too.
I would beg to differ because if you look at if you look at a lot of adult films, now heterosexual porn films, it's almost always involving anal play in some level or not.
That thing ain't got no feeling in it!
Most of the titles. And if a couple watches those together, I think they get the idea to try it out.
No!
Well, the
thing with including some kind of playback there, even just light touching, mm-hmm. is that it enhances everything else you're doing. So you can just stop right there at the entrance and do a little bit of gentle play, and the orgasm that you're about to give that person in other ways is going to be magnified.
After a little hot darting, Kevin, I think you'll be all done.
No!
You'll be all finished, as they say here in the book.
We're almost out of time here with Dr. Sadie Allison, but what are guys doing wrong, Doctor, if they're trying to introduce this into the bedroom with their wife or their girlfriend, and it's just a blank
surprise!
It's not even up for, consideration. What should they be doing to kind of make it more palatable to the young lady who at this point is a no so far?
Number one is they need to understand what it is they're going to do. And that's where this book and information
comes
in.
You have
to know what you're doing. It's very important. Number two is she needs to be warmed up. It's not like the other areas where you can just jump in and do it if you want. You have to be warmed up.
I don't want anyone jumping in. I'll tell you that right now. I am against jumping in.
And you have to be very, very respectful and communicate all the way through with feedback. You know, does this feel good? Do you want me to go further? Stop, slow down. All that, you have to really communicate every step of the way.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of work.
and real quickly, I know Beer Mug's an idiot, but he did bring something up off air.
Oh, please don't, Ralph. No, please don't.
Don't
revisit this.
I just think it's worth touching on, not in the way he did, but to mention, I think a lot of people also have hesitation when it comes to this because of cleanliness issues. They're concerned about that, or they've got fears or worries one way or the other that you know they won't be clean enough or the partner thinks that they're going into an area that they shouldn't. And you said that it's easy to get around that.
I mean,
we don't talk exactly, but just common sense stuff will take care of that for you. Right?
First of all, take a shower. People ask about enemas.
If
you're comfortable with that and you want to do it, go ahead, but it's not necessary.
Okay.
I always suggest if you're a little weary about it, you can lay down a dark towel.
Sure.
Keep some handy wipes nearby or just hop in the shower after. And it's really not what people think.
Right.
There could be a little bit of color at some point, but not all the time. Not done. Everybody.
Done.
Done.
Done. And that was very tasteful.
But here's one.
Good night, everybody. We'll be here all week.
Here's something I wanted to bring up to get people in the mood. So when you are going to do it and he is going to approach her, I asked one of the top erotic writers in the country to write me an erotic story about butt play between two first-timers in love.
Okay.
Experimenting. And I have that on my webpage for your listeners for free.
Oh, there you go.
So okay. That'll get you in the mood. Download it. It's super steamy and hot.
Okay. All right. That's Dr.
Like,
Sadie.
Like 50 Shades of Brown.
Oh, no.
Sadie is spelled S-A-D-I-E, by the way, for those of you who want to know.
Yes. DrSadie.com. Follow her on Twitter, at DrSadie. And, of course, TickleKitty.com. You can buy lots of great stuff on that. Look, we survived this interview, which I really didn't have much confidence that we were going to be able to based on the topic. But, Doctor, you are the best. Thanks so much for joining us.
Did you want to bring up this?
I did.
This lovely Christmas gift pack?
It's a starter kit. It's called the Hot Tush Pleasure Kit. It's right on the homepage at TickleKitty.com.
Okay.
It's a special as a stocking stuffer.
Yes.
Sale.
Yes.
And
so
it comes,
if you have kids, you're going to get your stocking
It comes
stocking
with
stuff.
Everything you need to get started. It comes with a bottle of Slippery Kitty lubricant, the Little Zinger butt plug, a bullet vibrator for her. Because I always say, ladies, if you're going to be starting this and just experimenting, it's good to have something on your pleasure spot at the same time to balance things out.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with Tickle My Tush, which tells you exactly what to do.
Perfect.
There you go. All right. I can't take Ralph anymore. Thank you, Dr. Sadie.
Thank you for having me.
I'm
going to
give you a two-headed teepee right now.
I do not know.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
My butt hurts so much from that last
I was just thinking how clenched Bean was during that entire interview. You could have put a hunk of coal up there and come out with a diamond by the end
no
of
questions.
It.
No questions. I'm never pooping again.
15
I'll tell
minutes.
You that. Hey, every day at around 9:10, we give away some tickets to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Both nights, pit tickets, backstage passes. This hour, no exception. Susanna Rukubo, apologize if I got that wrong, from Pico Rivera, just won the tickets. Your chance to win coming up at 12:10, then again at 3:10 and 6:10 this afternoon. Tickets all day long today and then tomorrow. And then we're almost running out of the week here because the shows are this weekend. But get your details at krock.com. All right. It's time for Ralph now on the Showbiz Beat.
You all right, Bean?
Exhausted. Wow.
Fear.
Too much clenching.
Fear's exhausting, isn't it? Really?
It sure is.
The usable energy being frightened.
I mean, she was 1,100 miles away and I still felt somehow she was going to get to me.
What is? Did someone touch you?
No,
you
I
young.
Think that's a given.
Were you touched by it?
No.
You're an altar boy or something?
Bean says he doesn't remember a thing before he was 15. Now,
yeah,
that to me
that
equals touching.
Call it Dr.
That
Freud.
Is,
Dr.
Or
Freud.
Aliens, by the way, or alien abduction. One of the two.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's much more likely that beings from another planet came down to the surface of ours and wiped your mind than it was some guy diddled you.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what I think, too.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
No, someone loved him too much, I think, when he was little. That's the problem. While we're talking about such things, John Travolta can heal the sick.
Oh, stop it.
He can heal the sick. New story about Travolta being in Shanghai recently when he met a man who was in severe pain after a devastating car accident. John Travolta laid hands upon him.
Yeah.
Tipped him $20 and then left the hotel.
Dropped the robe.
He says that Travolta did some Scientology assists.
What does assist mean?
He gave him some assists, man. He passed him the puck. I don't know. There's some technique in Scientology where they can lay hands on you and give you some assists.
You liar!
And the next thing you know, you've just assisted all over yourself.
Ugh.
The man felt immediately better. John says he saw his patient was confronting pain, and Travolta helped him find a way through it, and he said he felt immediately better after the treatment.
Well, it must be good to be a healer like that. That's great.
That's right.
That's
great. He gave him the two-handed TP.
I forgot about his other pain.
Did a little surfboarding. Worked the corkscrew. The next thing you know, the Freddie Flintstone finished off the entire session, and everybody went home happy. Yeah. Taylor Swift is an evil succubus from hell.
Stop ringing the bell. I think majority rules on the bell.
Well, I didn't know that we had decided she wasn't attractive.
You can't deny that she's attractive.
I can deny
girl.
She's attractive.
She's evil, but she's attractive, and that's how you know that she's the daughter of Satan, because he wouldn't put some ugly girl on this planet. He would try to make her as seductive as possible.
She's strangely not hot to me, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's pretty. I think she's a pretty girl. But she's Tatoff Switler. She is evil. Yeah. She tells Us Weekly magazine that she was dating a man who was joking about this false notion that she always writes songs about the men that she breaks up with in some derogatory sense.
That's all she does.
And he said, jokingly, that he was worried if they ever broke up that she would write a song about him. I laughed, says Taylor, and said, oh, don't worry, I won't. And then she promptly went back on her promise after they broke up. She did write a song about
him. What a surprise.
What a surprise. Whore. I wish her bad things.
Me too.
Give her the Freddie Flintstone. That's what I want to do. I want to do the scoop du jour.
Nope.
That's what I want to do.
Nope.
J.K. Rowling, she wrote all those Harry Potter books. Made her immensely wealthy.
Right.
She's now moved on to grown-up books. You know, it's her first novel for adults, The Casual Vacancy, was released to varying degrees of critical acclaim.
That's the chapter in one of Dr. Sadie Ellison's book as well.
The Casual Vacancy.
Not great.
It didn't, didn't sell great, but, and as I said, critics sort of, they were hot and cold on it, but it's making her more money. It's just been picked up by the BBC. They're going to turn it into a TV series. Will air in 2014. I'm guessing it'll be a miniseries. And so she's getting paid an enormous amount from the BBC to rights to film her adult book. Look, you cannot take someone with her success, I think, and pass up the opportunity to work with her.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone's looking to get lightning in a bottle the next time, right?
I agree.
And since we're talking about books being turned into movies, folks in New Zealand are complaining after early screenings of Peter Jackson's Hobbit film that it's making them nauseous. Many viewers, according to this story, are complaining the film made them sick to their stomach. Problem, it seems, is the techniques that Peter Jackson used to shoot the film. He shot it at twice the normal number of frames per second, whereas the regular film would be 24 frames per second. This is 48, and Peter says it gives the film enhanced clarity, but some viewers are complaining it made them nauseous. Even some of them even gotten migraines.
Hmm.
Several viewers said the technique worked well for distant landscape shots, like snowy mountains and things like that, but close up, the pictures strobed when it was dealing with actors. Another person complained the footage looked too real, which was disturbing to them.
Isn't that the goal?
I guess, but maybe there's some sort of neurological threshold that if you pass that, it starts to disturb your brain. If you're looking at a flat screen that is supposed to be a representation of an image and it looks too vibrant, too real, perhaps it disturbs your brain in some way. Anyway, people having problems with it. So it opens here on December the 14th. So go see it and vomit for yourself.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's been aware that this is controversial. I mean, you remember, Ralph, even back all the way back at Comic-Con over the summer, he didn't want to show it in this new format because right. He didn't want people to kind of see it out of context from the rest of the film. Yeah. I mean, I think he was expecting there's a learning curve for us, the audience, just like there was for 3D.
Yeah. He's also releasing it in Smell-O-Vision, which I thought was odd. Mm. Yeah. He says, wait till you smell the Hobbit's feet.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
It is hogwash, actually. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tyra Banks, TV personality, model, shrew. She's 39 years old today.
I'm not looking for ANTM as in America's Next Top Martian. I'm looking for America's Next Top what?
See how she does? See her?
Did she really think there was some confusion?
Yes,
she
did.
We were looking for America's Next Top Martian?
She had to clarify it. It has to be America's best, though.
It is on its 19th. Cycle on television right now.
Which has nothing to do with her, by the way. I mean, I know she created it or she's a producer or whatever, but the reason people tune in is because they want to see those hot mess skinny broads just lose their minds in that house. That's the truth. Anyone could host that show with equal success.
Yeah.
Because her talk show was...
It was horrible.
Painful.
It was brutal. Yeah.
She's 39 years old today. Jay-Z's 43. Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live and from Portlandia is 46. Marissa Tomei celebrates her 48th birthday today. And one of my favorite actors of all time, Jeff Bridges. We've met him several times. We've had a chance to interview him. And just could not be a more mellow, down-to-earth, nice guy.
Really. He's the dude.
He is the dude. The dude abides. He's 63. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have BJ Penn on the show talking about UFC on Fox. Real stuff, Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to R. Kelly for...
Where are you, Chuck?
Chuck hasn't even shown up yet.
So where is he? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Trapped in the Closet, another chapter of that. We have Judd Apatow in the program tomorrow.
What?
How about that?
He's too big a star to be on our show.
And Would You Like to Take That Back? And I believe we are all featured in that one. And we'll do that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and